thank you very much. Much appreciated the support. I did receive also your flowers. Thank you very much. To those that have been acting, thank you also to occupy the space. It clearly shows that as and when we work as a collective, it's always much more easier to really share the responsibility. Once again, thank you very much. The meeting is officially opened. We hope and believe with the vigor and strength that we used to portray, would really see more things happening. I was watching Emma Dangeni issue when it was presented before NCOP sitting, where the committee had a view and ultimately the House had a different view. Then I felt it had these are signs that our democracy is maturing. However, I hope it is for the best interest that most of the time, as and when we decide, we really provide guidance, because as and when we are assigned in terms of the roles of NCOP, the responsibility to really champion issues that relates to our specific select committee, we do that on behalf of the NCOP as a structure. So in that case, we are more suited to go out there, do our oversight, and ensure that we also get sense that other members could not even get in their absence. So in that case, we have a privy to have more and better understanding of the situation out there. I hope and believe the oversight that we held last week would be in a position to really portray leadership once more in terms of Masilo Nyane, Mafube, and Mitsi Mahole. And once again, thank you very much for the cooperation that you really portrayed last week, I mean the week before last, during our oversight visit. What was more worrying was the non-visibility of other officials, in particular the one of youth, the one of women, and also the content advisor. Although we did receive the apology from the content advisor, but I think I'll have to follow up and establish what happened with other officials who expected to be there, because as and when we go out on oversight, we focus on all aspects that covers our committee, included is women issues and also youth issues. I think are more paramount in that case. So in that context, that was just a warm welcoming to all of you. So the meeting is officially opened. Before us is apologies, consideration of the three reports, that is Masilo Nyane, Mafube, and Mitsi Mahole, then we deliberate. Honorable George.
Thank you, Chairperson. Under apologies, Honorable Chetty just asked me to tender his apology. He's unable to be here today. Thank you.
There's an apology of Honorable Chetty. Any other apology?
Chair, in terms of effort, we have received two apologies for Honorable Wana and
the other two apologies that we've received is from Honorable Wana and Honorable Manopoli. I know usually they used to attend, they were with us during the taking Parliament to the people in Free State. You know, I nearly commit a mistake. The most important thing is to open a meeting with a silent meditation and prayer. Can we just observe it? My apologies for that. Thank you very much. Maybe it's excitement. Seeing you after quite some time is really, really worrying. Honourable members, with regard to Mitsi Mahole, if you check the provisions of the Act, perhaps you'd realize that in this case, for Mitsi Mahole, ours is not necessarily to say we approve or we don't approve, because in terms of the provisions of the Act, in particular Section 139 Subsection 4, it's very clear the MEC would make their recommendations and we just take note of what has taken place. But as much as you take note, you'll also have to take into consideration whether there's been procedural aspects followed, substantive evidence, and other related issues, so that at the end of the day, even if you take note, you don't just see yourself being a spectator. Can we then go to consideration and adoption of the committee oversight report? We'll start with the one of Masilo Nyane. We'll just deal with it page by page. go to page 1, Masilonyane. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, this document will probably be referred to back long after we're gone. So I would like for it to be as complete as possible. Some of the most important matters that I've seen that are not mentioned over here, which I think is fundamental to the reasons why 139.1b must be supported, is a few things that were mentioned and that came out during the deliberations. The first is, and it's the basis of the request that I had, the motion that I had in the House, that is, due to the financial situation, that the provision of water in that municipality has completely almost disappeared in some areas. There's no mention of that. It links to, if you remember well, the Human Rights Commission report that was mentioned. I think those two things need to be mentioned under the substantive matters related to the intervention, so that when we go back in a few months' time, we follow up how is the water provision and how far are they with complying with the human rights report. So those are two things that I want to have included there. And also the Eskom debt, which plays a major role in the financial position of the municipality, and also the fact that it was mentioned by the administrator that they can only have that they currently only have debt collections at something like 22%, which is also not mentioned. Now, I think those four things, the human rights report, which is related to the water situation, the Eskom debt, and the 22% collections, all relate fundamentally and have a major impact on the financial situation of the municipality. And I think the report would not be be complete without us mentioning those four things under substantive matters related to the intervention. So if my colleagues would agree with that, I would request that we just expand the explanation under point 6. Just include those four important factors, please.
Any other view? I don't think there's any harm, because if you check in bullet 6.1, it's talking about water and sanitation challenges. However, we can just really expand by taking note of the concerns raised. However, with regard to the Human Rights Commission, we never had a privy to the report, and I'm not sure how will we handle it in the absence of us as the committee having privy to the report. Honourable Judge.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think, well, it has been mentioned. So it was mentioned to the committee. The committee is aware of it. I think even if we just mention that it has been named here, but at least before the follow-up, because we're going to have a follow-up there, at least before the follow-up, that report must come to the committee for the committee to be able to read it. I have it in my possession. I can forward it to you, but it was mentioned during the hearings, and I therefore think that it should be.
We take note of it. However, yes, we'll await a copy of the report so that the committee can have. In case we make a follow up, we know exactly what are the nitty-gritties.
Yes, but for the follow up, we're going to need it because it forms a vital part of. Of the situation. Thank you.
Honourable members, Honourable Nakiri, can you switch on the mic?
Thanks, sir. No, I just want to confirm whether indeed this document was sort of referred to in our engagement with stakeholders for us to be able to agree to the proposal to have it sort of captured in our report, because personally I don't remember.
Any other member that can also assist? Can we then coin it in this way, that we take note of a submission made by Honourable George? However, there's a need for us to have a follow-up specifically on this one of the Human Rights Commission report around water. Clear? Honourable George?
Chairperson, I'm happy with that. I just want to get clarity from you with regards to the low collections, the ESCOL debt. Will that also be captured? Thank you. Then I'm happy.
Because if you check in terms of 14.4, if you go to 14.4, the issue of ESCOM debt and the billing system is also covered. But what we can just do, maybe the technocrat can just capture it well to say what was the billing system. I remember even on our Munakedi had to say, can we get a comparative study of the collection rate where we even discovered that in fact Nala was the lowest in terms of revenue collection in that case. But as and when we coin our resolution, we must coin it in such a way that we make also pronouncement on these issues that are creating deficiencies at the level of the municipality. Perhaps as and when we coin our resolution, that's where we'd be in a position to concretize that. Honorable George, I think you are now concluding.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, just another inquiry. Still on page 3, where the presentation of the Department of COCTA continues. It's very opaque, 5.1, 5.2, 5.3, 5.4. It touches on what the department said. However, the department went into very much detail in their report, which I found very helpful. I think the Department of COCTA's report at every municipality was probably, for me, the most helpful, because it gave very much insight and very detailed information. I would just like to know, ideally, I would like this report to reflect that detailed information that they gave, or at least for the COCTA report to be attached to our report so that you can have insight into what is the exact situation. I don't know whether that's possible, but I just think our report doesn't give as clear insight into what the situation is as the COCTA one. COCTA has given us figures, it's given us facts that don't reflect in our own report. I think if we table a report, that we need to have it as complete and as clear as possible. Can't we incorporate some of this information that COCTA and the province has given us, especially under the financial management, the financial situation, just under the submissions of COCTA? Because the 4 points for me is not very clear.
Can I make a humble request? Because most of the time, documents that you get from the municipality, they are too general, Honorable George. And remember, in our case, we have the privy to really take what is more relevant to the legislative requirement as stipulated, because at times they raise even issues that are far beyond the relevancy of the Section 139. Hence I'm saying, unless if you guide us in terms of saying let's incorporate, then specify the issue that you'd really wish us to incorporate with your respect. You can look into them, I'll come back to you. Let me give other members an opportunity. Honorable Engelbart.
Mr. Chair, thank you. On page 3, in terms of substantive matters, one of the issues which I think is important, which we need to just clarify, is that the report does say that the municipality related challenges faced related to the failure to spend 11 million of the infrastructure grant. However, there's a 6 million rand credit lying in the grant. So I think that we need to mention that as well, which actually means there's 17 million.
It was for 2 financial years. In fact, it was 7 million, if not mistaken.
Yes, almost 7 million.
Yeah.
Yes. So if we
can
just add that,
please. It's with regard to the failure of the municipality. Remember, the issue of MIG funds, it's so crucial to an extent that we must always take it into consideration, failure to execute it. Yet, at the end of the day, there's a challenge in terms of the aging infrastructure.
Yes.
So I'm just saying it's important that we capture that.
Thank
Any
you.
Other issue on our members, on our Munakedi?
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm not very sure whether I really need to talk to this that I want to raise now, but let me just indicate. I think the issue here is in terms of ensuring that our officials pay special attention even to grammar, what if you, because I can see numerous grammatical errors here, no? Spellings and what if you. if I may just point to one or two. For instance, under 6.1, where they are talking about potholes, that last sentence, they are talking of potholes remain a vast challenge. I don't know whether they wanted to say huge or serious challenge. I mean, they may consider that. But also, 6.2, the governance challenge faced by the municipality related to the history of litigations, wrongful settling of litigation cases. I think the A must be taken out, you know. Wrongful settling of litigation cases. No? And then the speaking of complaints in the same paragraph, there's a T missing.
Can I make a humble request?
Yeah.
The issue of forwarding documents, I don't think we're used to experience this challenge. But most of the time, it's important that there's forwarding of documents, content advisor, and the relevant officials. We take note of your concern. I think it will be taken up on it. You have to be taken up. Any other issue? Page 4. Page 5. It's opinions. Page 4, I think we must just comment the mood that we have received from the stakeholders. It was really positive. You could see stakeholders that are willing to support the municipality, who are treating the challenges in Masilonia not as the problem of the municipality, but they took ownership of their problems. And I think we need really to applaud them for that really decency in that regard. Can we capture it somewhere, maybe? I think it's important. Or else, as and when we coin our resolutions, that is where we must really appreciate the role that has been played, in particular in Masilonia. We have seen positive inputs where they condemn and criticize. There were genuine concerns raised, and I think it is much appreciated. Page 6. Honorable Munakedi.
Chair, you have given a ruling, but please just allow me to bring to the attention of the officials as they approve it, you know, to also just make sure that they're corrected. Under 14.4, that are cleansing and money owed, not owned. For sure, the chair can see that. That one is very clear. 14.4. Yeah.
Spelling. That is right, in most instances. You know, as and when we grow up in the political arena, you'll always have minutes read, then you start to do corrections, omissions, and that are related. Typically, it will always be picked up, much as you are saying proofread, but honestly speaking, as and when we move forward, there will always be human error or typing error either way, so, but to ensure that we emphasize the point that you are raising, honestly. Page 7. Those are recommendations, Honorable Josh. Can I give you a chance on that particular space that you said you will be given an opportunity?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, before I get to that, if I may, page 7, I'm happy with everything, except that we must perhaps just also include under the recommendations that we will follow up on the Human Rights Commission report. That's the only addition that I would like there, but I'm happy with the recommendations. With regards to the matter that you said you will give me a chance, what will make me satisfied, and it's very simple, is under the presentation by the Department of COCTA, to include their presentation, point B, which explains governance, point C, service delivery and infrastructure, point D, the financial management situation, and point E, the building institutional capacity, those four. Because they highlight very clearly in the department's report, they highlight very clearly, and we can copy it, because it was the submissions by the department. They highlight very clearly to us in very full details the exact situation, and it was their submissions. So my suggestion would be, under the presentation by the Department of COCTA, that we copy and paste the point B, C, D, and E to just reflect the detail of which they have presented to us. If that is included under their submissions, then I think the report will be as complete as we possibly can have it.
Can I get clarity? If you check 6.2, is addressing issues of governance. 6.3 is addressing financial issues. 6.4 is addressing issue of institutional capacity. Can we just say, perhaps, let them also pick up other issues that they might have omitted, that they think are critical to be incorporated into part of the report. Clear. But nonetheless, most of the issues are catered for in the provision.
Chairperson, if I may request that when they expand those specific points, that they be guided by the report of the department in the province, because this report is as comprehensive as you can possibly get. And I would like our report to be comprehensive, and I would like our report to be complete. So let them be guided by these submissions. If you do not have a copy of this, I can provide you with it. But it gives full detail of the situation in the municipality, and I think our report should reflect that detail.
Honourable members, Honourable Kumbi.
Yes, Chairperson, thank you very much. It's just because I don't have that report, but I would like to also concur what you said, that it's not, we are not copying what is exactly in the report. We are just focusing to the relevant things that are in the report that may, what that can be necessary for us to report to the council. It's not necessary to copy everything there, as you said, so, Chairperson. I said the board, but I don't have it, but I think we need to be careful of not copying, but reporting in terms of what we're agreed upon. Thanks.
Can I ask Honourable, Mr. Manel, just to comment on that? Mr. Manel, I'll give you a chance. You're noted on our NRF 10.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable members, when we come to report this position, Chair warned us one thing. As a committee, we need to pull up on the reports. With regard to what Honourable George is referring to, what we did was not to cut, paste the language used by the department. We had to be creative, come up with our own language, but not diverting from what the department is reporting on. But however, I accept that maybe we need to build on the headings that we have under governance, institutional capacity building challenge, and financial management, but not necessarily using the language used by the department. But if you look at the content of what we're creating, it's similar to what the department presented.
That is what I said. What we'll try to do, because I think what Honourable George is raising and what Honourable members are trying to come up with is to ensure that we don't miss these valuable issues that has warranted the institution of 139. So in that case, we might not necessarily miss that. For an example, in my case, if you look at the performance in terms of unauthorized, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure, we need to really see that reflecting. In the report, it's not reflecting. And it's one of the crucial issues where you find East Pola municipality performing like that in terms of the fruitless, wasteful, unauthorized, and irregular expenditure. I'm saying if we check, it's one of the critical issues that from time to time Auditor General would raise, you know. Hence, I'm saying we'll look into it, we'll ensure that some of the issues that are more crucial to be reflecting on the report, let them report. I think we take note of that. Let's not prolong it. Can we go to the recommendations? The other issue that is also key on our recommendation is the issue of capacity building of the both councillors and officials at the level of the municipality. Because you have seen, as and when there were presentations made, you could really sense that there's also a challenge with regard to interpersonal relations in terms of the political office, BRS offices. So perhaps we need also to coin a resolution where we are saying SALGA together with COCTA should also come up with a capacity building program around the role clarification. You know, issue of segregation of duties at the level of the municipality where you avoid a situation where there's unnecessary feud between different office bearers offices. If we can also coin that. Honorable Engelbert, then we'll come after Honorable Najid.
Mr. Chair, thanks very much. It's just getting back to the issue about the COPTA report. I think it's important that we have provided an overall view of the issues, but the COPTA report is very specific, which will be important for future visits and oversights. So I have a suggestion. Why don't we just add the COPTA report as an annexure? So we're giving an overall view of the issues the way that we've picked it up, and then we could refer to the annexure with the specific details of that municipality. Thank you.
There's nothing wrong to have an annex, but remember, now we are preparing our own report. Even tomorrow, where there can be a contestation in the court of law, we need to own up to our own report. An annex would still remain an attachment to a report authored by a particular person. But in this case, we must ensure that we own up to our own report, so that tomorrow, if there's any contestation, we are not going to make reference on a document that we did not even author. So in that case, hence I said, let's be able to really extract what we feel is really key out of the report, then we own up, so that as and when we present before the NCOP, it's our own report. But if you have an annexer remains an independent document that you can just attach to the report. So in that case, you need to have your own extraction out of that, because it's not everything that you can rely on in terms of the report. Honorable Judge.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I agree with you. I don't see a reason why we can't do both. We need to own up to our report. Our report needs to reflect what we as a committee see and what we as a committee decide. We can do both. I'm just sitting here looking at, for example, a few things. One of the things mentioned by the department that was never included in the report, it's perhaps not relevant, is just one point. Due to shortage of TLBs and other fleet because of the financial reasons, some of our officials are forced to dig graves by hand. That's not in the report. You turn the page, financial management, you get figures. Half of those figures aren't in our report. So I agree with you. I think we're on the same page, that we need to own up to our own report, and we need to include the things that are important. We must make sure that it is in our report. And at this stage, our report does not reflect all of that. So I think you and I, and I think most of the members, are on the same page with regards to that point. Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
And
you are the last on this.
Yeah. I think, Chair, you have given guidance and ruling, I think, on this particular matter. And fortunately, there is no serious contradiction in terms of the way forward. And I thought how you captured it should be sufficient to say that we will go back, obviously assisted by the officials, to make sure that you expand on what is captured in our report, you know, without necessarily having to attach that particular report. Because we did receive submissions and what have you from various stakeholders. And
you compared.
Yes, we don't. Yeah, we compared, and we said no. I think considering all those, you know, this is the observation, the findings, and the recommendations, you know. And and there's nothing actually stopping us as we debate these issues, you know, to refer to this and that. But in terms of us as a committee adopting a report, I thought this is sufficient, and we are also agreeing, as per your ruling, Chair, that those sections referred to by Honorable George, you know, be looked into so that we use them to expand. So we are agreeing on the same page. The second issue that I wanted to talk to is the one that you commented on in terms of capacity. And I thought as that particular paragraph or whatever is added, if there could be reference to Section 1541 of the Constitution, you know, because it's very, for me, very extremely, very important.
Okay. Yeah. Can we do them separately? Well, the other one is more of support and monitoring, yes.
Well, you spoke of capacity and what if you want. More related to Section 1541.
Yes. Can we do this thing? Because I wanted this one of capacity, because this is what I've observed. We'll incorporate the one consistency in terms of execution of 154. But I wanted this one of capacity, honestly, to really reflect, because it has been there, you could really see it. You could really see it, and unless you put it that way, I think it will not get that attention that really needs to. So it means you incorporate these two, the issue of capacity for councillors and officials, and also the issue of invocation of 154 But if you check again, remember, as much as we are resolving, we are also saying in terms of 15.1.3 that the administrator should provide progress report on the implementation of the non-payments of employees, insurance policies, criminal thefts on unaccounted funds, municipal plan to pay ESCOM debt, filling of critical vacant positions. In most instances, we have tried by all means to coin out of this recommendation all these issues that are not explicitly outlined in terms of the report. But as and when we resolve, we are saying, as and when we tap on progress, we are going to monitor on all these issues. That is where, as and when we write to them on our judge, where we'll be visiting as a follow-up oversight, would specify, you have raised this and this and this and this. On your progress report, can you update us on the specific issues? I think that will be also one way of us addressing all these issues that have been raised out of COCTA report without us necessarily capturing them thoroughly in the report. Clear on our members. On our judge will be the last on this.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm happy with that. I would just recommend that under 15.1.3, where we mention all of it, which is good, the insurance policies, the criminal steps, and so on, that we, under those points, just include the progress report on the human rights report. Okay. That it just gets mentioned under 15.1.3 as also one of the things they need to report on.
Yeah, but you capture it the way we have coined it, that based on that submission that made by on our judge, a follow-up should be made also on this particular issue of human rights report on water issues in that area. Can we have a mover for the adoption of the report with amendments made? Honorable Kimbi, any seconder? Honorable Msanga. Thank you very much. Can we then go to the second report? The report on Mafube. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Now, Josh.
Thank you, Chairperson. Without taking up too much time, the same applies to this one, that they just expanded to be more comprehensive. Thank you.
Page 4, page 5, opinions, and I will communicate.
Yes, I think in terms of proceeding, if they could do the same, as far as this report is concerned, because only I've come across some errors, some mistakes. So, proceeding.
Okay. Land advisor, I think you take note of it. And other officials, let's ensure that the document is thoroughly proofread. We're still in page 5. Page 6. Page 7, recommendations. Can we also incorporate the issue of capacity building? Because if you remember, there was some stage where one started to interact with some of the political office bearers, and you could really get sense that, honestly speaking, with regard to the provisions in particular of MFMA and also the issue of the roles, a serious deficiency in that case. So the issue of capacity building should be prioritized. Remember, in both reports, this issue of capacity must also incorporate the capacity building specifically on the issue of Section 139. But in this case, you are saying Section 139 and also issue of the roles, and also the legislative imperatives that govern the local government. I think it's a worrying factor. Honorable Josh.
Chairperson, I would support that, but can we include it in both reports?
Yes, in both reports. In both reports. In both reports. Ndate Monakeri, anything in your case, Section 154 also here? Okay. The other concern, you know, we take time before we do our follow-ups. And remember, issues of intervention are not of a permanent future. The more we delay to go back, is the more damage, or we are unable to make follow-ups. Like, for example, we visited Northern Cape, where we are still supposed to go back and make follow-ups. You know, till today, you are unable to make a follow-up. And there's a need, really, not to leave much more space without really following up on issues that has been a call for concern. Otherwise, municipalities will forever underperform, because our monitoring system, it comes after some time. So I'm not sure, we need really to find a way of engaging once more the office bearers here in Parliament, NCOP, to say, honestly speaking, there's a need that we must do more visibility on the ground, especially with regard to monitoring the performance of the municipality. Otherwise, we'll be working like firefighters. I'm not sure if we need to coin it once again as part of the resolution in both reports, that there's a need really to coin something on that. Honorable Mhlanga. Yeah, let's just coin it by saying that our committee should be given an opportunity to have more space to do follow-ups on challenges that are faced by municipalities. More oversight visits, I think it's important. Otherwise, you work like firefighters. Clear, honourable members? Any mover for adoption of the report with amendment made? Honourable George? Any second, Honorable George, second, thank you very much. Honorable members, with regard to the Metsima Hall, how we approach the Metsima Hall, remember the Metsima Hall, as I indicated, it's with regard to, is not a dissolution in terms of Section 139(1)(c). It's a dissolution in terms of Section 1394 because of a budget. The one of 1391C, it's a separate one. So I just want to say maybe corrections should be made. I've just gone through the report either way where it was saying 1391C. If you check, there are limitations in terms of that provision. It just says a notice will be served to us as the committee. In the absence of Section 1398, no regulations in terms of us really making a follow-up. It really creates deficiency from us. And for now, we have received a letter. You are noted, Honorable Joshua, I'll give you a chance. We have received a notice from the office of the chair with regard to, is it Metsima Hall Civic Association? They've written to us and says NCOP. And if you check, even if they've written to us, we still have to go out, interact with them, because we only heard of the side of the department and the municipal manager. We never had an opportunity to get sense of the feeling of the stakeholders, even if we are not going to make any pronouncement in this regard. Honorable George, as and when you engage on this matter, take that into consideration.
Chairperson, I just struggle to understand how at this stage is that going to make a difference, because we have absolutely no influence in changing what is happening in that municipality. As you said, we need to note that the municipality, that the notice of 1391C has been delivered to the municipality, and that the municipality now has to go through an election again. So meeting with different political parties at this stage by the NCOP is going to be fruitless and wasteful, because we do not have any jurisdiction over that. So I just need to understand your reasoning behind that. But apart from that, under the recommendations then, if I understand you correctly, and I would support this, would be that instead of saying that the NCOP approves the intervention, it should say that the NCOP notes the intervention. And that a follow-up meeting would, in this case, not be necessary, because if we go there, the follow-up meeting will simply be, we did have elections, and this was the outcome. That we can follow in the news. So I do not think that a follow-up meeting, per se, in this regard, is necessary, as it is in the 139.1b cases. But I just want to understand your reasoning behind having to meet with the MCA. If they wrote a letter to us, it doesn't mean we have to respond by going there to all letters. I think such expenses would be fruitless and wasteful. We can simply tell them that we have no jurisdiction over their concerns. I think the person that they need to engage with is, at this stage, the IEC, if they have any concerns. But there's nothing that any one of us can do at this stage until the election is done. Thank you.
Another view of Honorable George. But in this case, I think much as us not having the power to really approve or disapprove in this case, but where we have relevance is when someone wishes to bring something to our attention, we can't just close doors. So in this case, it's important that we give them a hearing, because in this case, we did not initiate like we used to do in terms of 139.1 A, B, C in this case. What we usually do, we are the ones who take the initiative to invite stakeholders. In this case, someone wishes to bring to our attention something that we never had an opportunity to hear. I'm saying, just to go out and say, present to us, then we clarify. I don't see any harm in that regard. However, it's for the committee also to make pronouncement.
Chairperson, I don't want to engage you too much on this, but my suggestion is just it's the 21st century. People know how to write letters, and letters get to us like this. They can make written submissions. We do not have to go to Sasolburg, especially if we have absolutely no jurisdiction to help them with whatever their problem might be. At this stage, that would be wasteful expenditure. I do not want the committee to get involved in something that does not concern the committee. So I'm not saying close the doors to them. They are more than welcome to make submissions to us. But for us to go all the way to Sasolburg to go and listen and then afterwards tell them, we know that we can't help you, but we just came to listen to you, sounds like a joyride, and we can't waste money like that. So by all means, invite them to make submissions. But they need to understand that at a 139.1c at this stage, the NCOP can do absolutely nothing for them. Otherwise, it's going to end up like the Petitions Committee, where people bring petitions to us and we end up, after a lot of expenses, telling them, we're sorry, we can't help you. We need to play open cards with these stakeholders and tell them, at this stage, we can only take note. And that can be done through written submissions. I do not think we have to go all the way back to Sasolburg to go and ask it. And also, when are we going to do it? Because the election, as far as I know, is either September or November. So we don't have much time to go and waste money on something we don't have a jurisdiction over. Don't close doors, but don't waste money.
Can I give other honorable members? That's the view of Honorable George. Honorable Msango, Honorable Munaki.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I don't think there will be a harm, Chair, through you. For yourself and your managing committee to just go there as your proactive, no, it's not your right, your proactive oversight, your section 191 law. It will assist us to clear most of the issues. Maybe out of what they want to raise, it will also assist us going forward on entertaining the section 139C or 139B, whatever. But I think it will be very, very important for us to listen to our people if they have something to say to us. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Munakedi.
Thank you, Chair. My limitations as far as this matter is concerned is that I do not know what is contained in the letter. I'm not sure what issues are they raising, what are they saying, no? So it becomes difficult to then make an input to say, let's go this or that route, you know. But obviously there has to be some response from us acknowledging the letter and advising maybe on further steps that they can actually take. I'm actually thinking that, like in the recommendations, we expect the NBC to come back to us at some point, no? To say this is what has happened. We may want to favor the NBC with a copy of that letter, so that if there are some issues that needs or need their response as the provincial government, as they come back to us, they will then be able, they should then be able to say, in addition to whatever else they had to report back, there was this issue and this is what we have actually done. So, yeah, thank you.
Can I clarify? Maybe just to also assist in terms of providing guidance. Remember, any matter that you deal with as the committee, it's a referral in terms of the NCO of your own. In this case, there's been a referral. I'm not sure that letter was supposed to have been circulated. You know, there's been a referral from the office of the chair on this particular matter. And remember, all these issues, even if you are saying jurisdiction, all these issues are within the Section 139. If it's under the jurisdiction of Section 139, we have the responsibility in terms of our role to give any person a hearing. And that is why, from time to time, the chairperson of the NCOP would always say, where's the ori alteram patens? Even if you are saying you take note, you don't exclude other people. Remember, Section 72 of the Constitution is also very clear. Public access to and involvement in the National Council. The National Council of Provinces must facilitate public involvement in the legislative and other processes of the Council, which means this process of Section 139, even if it's a notice that has been served to us, we have also the responsibility to educate our people, because most of the time when you talk about public participation, they are saying public participation and education. So in this case, you have also a responsibility. I'm just saying, let's not just discard it as if it's not really our responsibility to engage, because those are our own stakeholders, those are our own constituents. Honorable George.
Thank you, Chairperson. I agree with you. We can't just discard it. That's why I earlier said to you, don't close doors. But I agree with my colleague from Limpopo that if it can be done by written correspondence, let it be so. I do not agree with the Honorable Mshanga, and I want this to be noted, that I will support it in as far as it stays with written communication. Because you can't close the door, but you can tell them whether we have jurisdiction to help you or not, and we need to give them a reply. But when it comes to doing a physical, whether it's only you or the entire committee, when it comes to doing a physical hearing to Sasolburg, I want my objection noted, because I cannot condone fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Thank you, Chairperson.
But the committee has not made any determination that it will be fruitless or wasteful expenditure. It's the view of Honorable Judge. Honorable Engelbrecht.
Mr. Chair, yes. Surely we should allow the contents of the letter to dictate our action. Because if it is just something that is just information, then surely an on-site visit is not necessary. So surely we should first be privy to the actual content of the letter before we make that decision, without having to spend that time, because our time is very limited for the rest of the year. So we're sitting with a huge constraint in terms of time. So that is my suggestion, Chair, that we wait for the content of the letter before we make that final decision.
Can I make a request that we adjourn for only 10-15 minutes to get copies of the letters that you received as a referral from the office of the chair, so that we know, Honorable George. Let's accommodate what Honorable Munakedi and Honorable Engelbrecht
is
raised.
Chairperson, if I may just make a point, the meeting is from 1 to 2. I have a rules committee meeting. What do you suggest I do? At
That's a dilemma.
Whip?
Whip, any input?
Yes. Chairperson, did you read the letter that comes from the chairperson?
Even if I thought.
If you did read the letter and you see that it's necessary for the input, the oversight from that issue, this committee cannot refuse you to do that.
Okay, that's a view. Honorable Judge, you had your chance. Even if people are having different views, they afford you an opportunity to raise your views. Honorable.
Thank you, sir. I concur with
Honorable
Ted. There is a letter. You can give it if it's later. Then the only thing that we're supposed to do is to, as a committee, we need to go there or not. Then that is the thing. And I think I concur with Honorable Mthethwa, if the committee feels that we need to visit that place, why not? Why not? If that is that, then call the auditors or treasurer to say it's a wasteful, not us. No.
So we are saying let's investigate. If there's a need for us to go, we'll go, but it will be communicated.
That's right.
Clear, Honorable Members.
Clear.
We take note of concerns that have been raised. However, we are saying if there's a need for us to go and interact with the constituency of Parliament, we will do so. Honorable Judge.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question was, what is the rationale between going there since we have no power anymore? That question was not answered. The second thing is, I just want to make sure now that the committee has made this decision, that my objection is noted, that if any wasteful expenditure occurs, that I want my objection noted. Thank you.
Okay, it will be noted. Thank you. Honourable Members, I think we have dealt with three important items that were before us.
Point?
Well, you are saying we never go to Ms. Mount, but we invited them. Okay, now it's fine. Maybe what we need to do, having received presentation or briefing. Okay. So it means 6.1.4 will be what we have resolved, that after careful consideration and consultation with the Office of the Chair on this matter of the submission made, the committee. Honourable Joshua noted.
Chairperson, I believe, and I saw you nod your head when I initially mentioned it, that the in 6.1.1 it should say NCOP notes, and
yes.
6.1.3 should be deleted because it is 139.1C. So 6.1.3 falls away. 6.1.3 falls away because it is a 139.1C. So in other words, what are we going back for to in a few months? What are we going back for to see? Because it's dissolved, there's an election, so a new council gets elected. So there's no need, like in the case of a 139.1B, to go back and see the progress. 139.1C, you don't go back to see the progress, you just get a report on how the election went, because it's completely dissolved.
Can I beg to differ with you? Remember, as and when you invoke even section 1394, you have an administrator who's executing even the responsibility that was supposed to be done by the council. So in that case, there might be other information that you might need. What if the administrator messed up? So we have the obligation also to monitor. That is why in most instances, you need also the exit report, you know. You need also the exit report because the administrator is not going to be there permanently. So it's important even the operations of the administrator, as and when he executes his responsibility during this era, while they are awaiting the finalization of his elections, then there's a need for us to monitor that. I think it's important that...
Chairperson, but then I would suggest that point three reads that we should, after the elections, receive a finalizing report.
Either way, because yes. Even if you are saying a follow-up oversight visit, will not just say, send it to us. We'll also say, where a need arises. Remember, we used to say, let's be proactive.
I'm starting to wonder who's got a girlfriend in Sasselburg, because you very desperately want to go to Sasselburg.
It's for the first time that I see
you. No, I would gladly welcome you to the DA municipality.
No,
but
not,
we always invite all ANC members to come and learn. But I'm seriously starting to wonder why so desperately you want to go to Sasselburg.
No, it's not desperation. It's a norm that we've been applying all along in any municipality where there's been an intervention. We would always have a follow-up oversight so that we ascertain ourselves that wrongs were not done in the absence of the well-constituted structure. Yeah, no. Under administrator, there are executions, there are adverts, there are issues of SCM, there are many issues that are still taking place in that particular municipality. Honourable members, I think we need to come to a conclusion. Let me welcome Mama Dog.
No. I wanted to say that I think the way the matter was concluded earlier on, to say that based on what is contained in the letter, an assessment will be made and a decision taken to go that route or this route, no? And I thought the matter should be concluded at that level. No, that's what you said. That the chair will...
Can you give him a chance first on our Sangha?
Then you can. Earlier on, you summarize.
Yes.
To say, as per the input by Honorable Trimby, to say that I think the contents of the letter, you will consider it, and then you will then give guidance in terms of what should then happen, and we'll abide, all of us, by that decision.
Okay.
Thanks.
Because like I'm saying, remember, even if it's the issue of 1394, there's an administrator. We need also to monitor the performance of the administrator. You can't do that by just exchanging communique. Others, you need clarity. For an example, now you have just raised issues of COCTA, where we're able to have an opportunity to interact with the HOD and explicitly outlined to us what are the issues, and we're able to ask him questions. So in that case, when you have a letter, you won't even be in a position to engage with the letter. Hence, it's important that most of the time, you go and do in-loco inspection. So in that note, we are concluding with 6.1.4 to say the chair would ensure that he looks into the content of the letter and see whether it would be valuable for us to have an in-loco inspection in terms of the administrator and the letter written to us by Mezima Holy Civic Association. Can we have a mover for the adoption with the amendment made? Honorable Mteta, seconder. Honorable Trimbe. Honorable members, thank you very much. I think it's more healthy, you know, taking time without one interacting with me clearly shows there's a gap. I still have to start afresh, really, acquainting most of our honorable members. But nonetheless, the meeting is officially adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.